The Amish, the first Amish, I think, came over in 1737, and from Holland, Switzerland. They were a lot more like Mennonites, like we know Mennonites today, because and actually Jacob Ammon was a Mennonite. Yeah, I mean, it was a, they weren't called Mennonites at that time. He was a follower of Menno Simons, and they called him the Swiss Brethren at that time, and later they became known as Mennonites. But so, you know, being a lot like Mennonites, they came over here for freedom because of, you know, the persecution and all that. But in 1737, and they've just, you know, I think what happened is when Jacob Ammon started the religion, he borrowed some Catholic doctrine from the harsh shunning. Jacob Ammon wasn't happy, satisfied with the, you know, there, he felt like the Anabaptists were too loose in the separatism, and he saw salvation as through the church, the true-hearted people. Show me you're a Christian. You know, it's like the walk, like a little bit more of that. And then when somebody didn't walk the line, the hierarchy could decide whether, you know, I was brought up thinking that the bishop being taught, that the bishop was actually a mediator. He was the one that went to God and came back, you know, went to God for the people and came back, and he could actually tell by watching you what's in your heart and determining whether you're a true-hearted Christian, whether you're going to go to heaven or not, basically. And once you join the church and they see you do something, for example, my brother Andy was really close to me. We were like two peas in a pod, you know, and I was the runt of the family. I didn't get quite as big, you know, when I was born, and my brother Andy was a year and a half younger than me, and he caught up with me really soon. So Mom just put a double portion of clothes in drawers, and you know, we slept in the same bed. I mean, yeah, there's 14 of us. I mean, there were 14 children. 13 of us grew up. And so, you know, we didn't have a 14-bedroom house. But, you know, so we shared a lot. And we shared secrets, my brother Andy and I. We always, you know, he was the closest, almost like, you know, until we got married, we were one. When I got saved after we got married, you know, and I got saved, I thought, if there's anybody I can tell about how to get saved, it would be Andy. But, you know, he had no interest in those kind of things. And he said, well, I don't care what the Bible says. What's important is that we obey our parents. I said, well, what if our parents taught us something other than the Bible? He said, well, then, he said, God will understand that. Later he told me that we can't know anything for sure. In Romans 9, the end of Romans 9 and the beginning of Romans 10, we find that the people of Paul was writing about the Israelites, and he said in verse 30 of chapter 9, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And I can relate to that. This is exactly, you know, we thought we were as far separated from the world as anybody, and we trusted in that. We trusted in those things that separate us, you know, I know now that, you know, by 1 John, what the Bible says very clearly here in chapter 10, it tells us that Jesus, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It is Jesus that we need. We need to be that salvation, you know, the new birth. And then in 1 John 5, those are the verses that I used when my mom and dad got saved, because 1 John tells us I'm going to turn there and read a couple of verses because this is so important. This really helped me. Verse 9 of chapter 5, 1 John 5, says, if we receive the witness of men. I was taught all my life, I believed the witness of my dad and my grandpa, okay, who were ministers in our church. I received the witness of men. It says here, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, the Holy Spirit. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, do we believe his record? I wanted to know what that record was, so I make sure that I believe his record. The next verse says, and this is the record that God hath given us. That's past tense. Hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he said, and these things write unto you, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, and that you continue, you know, that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants us to know, and he wrote these things down. And a record is something that is recorded, I believe, is recorded in heaven, and it's written down. And he said, this record is of his Son, is that he has given us eternal life. I asked my dear mom when she had cancer, I said, if unless you have Jesus, I'll never see you if you die. And she did die. You know, that's just the way nature goes. I mean, we get old and things happen, and we don't have a promise of being here the rest of the day. He could come today for us. If you're not saved today, whoever it is in here, you're not saved, you're not sure, don't put it off till tomorrow. Get saved today. Amen. Today is the time to get saved. He promises to give us eternal life if we put all our faith in him. We're not trusting somebody else. If we recognize our sinful condition, we can't do it. But he can. And so I asked Mom, I said, if you don't have Jesus, I told her. See, I was a heretic. I wasn't even supposed to be there and preach to him. But, you know, the Holy Spirit told me what to say. And I memorized the German because, they, you know, the weight's in the German. So I told him about the German. And she said, well, I think I have Jesus when I was baptized. I was born again. I said, well, then if you have Jesus, you have eternal life. See, I know that they don't believe in that. That's the stumbling block that we read about in Romans. They don't believe anybody can know that. My brother Andy told me, he said, we can't know anything for sure. That's pretty sad right there. I said, well, I guess that means we can't know for sure that we're standing here talking to each other then. he said, now, I'm talking about things we can't see. Oh, you mean we don't know for sure if there is a God then? And I had him. And guess what he said? I guess not. I said, well, I wouldn't like to live like that. But my mom said, oh, I think I have Jesus. And I said, well, then you have eternal life. She said, oh, well, nobody can know that, because we might mess up yet before we die and lose our salvation. And I said, well, then I guess you're calling God a liar. Because it just said here that this is the record that he gave. And if we don't believe his record, we make him a liar. Isn't that good? And she said, well, I don't want to make God a liar. And then I said, then Jesus said we can believe in him. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? I'm out of time, but I was gonna bring my, tell you a little bit about the, can I take 1 minute?
Yeah.
1 minute and tell about, you know, we've separated, like we saw there in Romans 9, how we separated from the world, you know. That's where their stumbling stone is, that they've separated from the world, and that's what, they actually have a way of intimidating us in some ways. And I'm telling you, we follow the world too much, folks. We need to go back and get in the book more and be a little bit more separate from the world as Baptists. Amen? I'm just going to say that. But the Amish people, they're all different. You saw a testimony of someone that was born in a strict community. And in the Amish community that we're close to or ministering to there, the biggest one in Amish country, Ohio, we call it, has about 20 different sects. Okay? That's a lot. That kind of reminds you of Baptists. But everybody is just a little bit different, you know, and you have the ones that actually preach salvation, at least to a point. Many churches, you're not allowed to talk about it. Only the preachers can talk about it. Isn't that sad? It's the most important thing in the world. And you're not allowed to talk about it. But everybody that I know, all of the groups that even preach salvation don't believe in eternal life. Okay? So, I say that to say, you know, they're not all the same. You heard a testimony here, but you may meet somebody that's actually saved. But challenge them with these verses that I just, in 1 John about eternal life. Challenge them with those. But anyhow, I brought a couple of things that the men were allowed to wear. This is called a stocking hat, I guess. But the Amish call it a tippelkop. And we were allowed to wear this. This is pretty worldly, really. We were allowed to wear these in school. But once we reached a certain age, I don't remember for sure what it was, but a certain age, we couldn't wear this anymore. We had to go to a hat. Okay, but this was pretty modern, and a tippelkop got its name because it has a little tipple on the top. You know those fancy fluffy, like a rabbit tail fluff up there? But that was too fancy. So we had to have one like this, without the tipple. So it was a tipple cup without a tipple. Okay. All right. So we could do that until we reached the age of accountability or a little bit older, you know, a certain age. I don't even remember the age. But then we had to wear a hat. Now, this is not even anything close to an Amish hat. I got to go get me one. Show you what it's like. This is a Mennonite hat, okay? Might even be a strict fundamental Baptist hat. I'm not sure. You've seen the Amish hat. The stricter they are, the wider the rim. Okay? If you're an ordained minister, you got to wear one that's really wide. It's way out here. I think it was 4.5 inches it had to come out, you know. So that's how I can tell by the hat they're wearing. I can pretty much tell you how receptive they are. That's why I brought that out. And this one Amish community, it cracks me up. But this one Amish community, we were told that set out to be the strictest of them all. If they found out of anybody that had a rule they didn't have, they adapted to it. Okay. Driving through that community was pretty easy to tell. I mean, they said that it's against their rules to have paint. Can you imagine what that would be like? So we saw a brand new barn, had new barn siding on it. It looked like it was 30 years old and it never had seen any paint. It was just, you know, the stripy black stuff coming down. That's sad. Then we saw little children, first graders, go to school. The little boys, and they had these big preacher hats on, you know. But anyhow, I hope you learned something.